The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony Lou Williams has trademarked his strip club nickname, Lemon Pepper Lou. Do you have a club nickname?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. They used to call me Polecat, but I haven't danced in years.
Wow.
In Binghamton, I was the Bearcat Polecat.
Oh, that's good.
That's a long time ago.
Well, you know, you got that attic. You could just drill a hole, a big one,
yeah,
and put the put the pole from attic to the kitchen.
They call Lou Williams Lemon Pepper Lou.
Lemon Pepper
and
Lou.
And he thinks that's, yeah. He's your boy, right? I mean, I don't really know him. I don't know about the wings and stuff. Welcome to PTI, boys
wings,
and girls.
Baby.
In today's episode, fans boo unity. The Rockets are almost done. And Tom Brady is just 47 hours away from his first start for the Bucs. But we begin today with the Kansas City Chiefs convincingly beating a playoff team, the Houston Texans. Houston led 7-0 and then didn't score again until garbage time with 7 minutes left in the game. The Texans were without DeAndre Hopkins, who they traded away, and the Chiefs were with their rookie running back out of LSU, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and all he did was gain 138 yards rushing. Wilbon, what was more noticeable, the absence of Hopkins or the addition of Edwards-Helaire?
The absence of Hopkins, Tony. I mean, Houston, Texans, I mean, you talk about franchises that seem to frequently outsmart themselves. They get rid of Hopkins. They ship him off, right. And I'm glad he's in Arizona. And we're going to line up and play opposite Larry Fitzgerald, which could really be something to watch. But in terms of Houston, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? You have people out there who allegedly run sub-4.4s, and they still can't get open. And Deshaun Watson doesn't have a line still that can keep him upright. He is always, he's trying to keep his head up and look downfield and not look at the rush, and then the pocket collapses because he doesn't really have one. So the absence of an offensive line comes secondarily to the absence of Hopkins. Tony, I mean, I love him. I love Deshaun Watson. I can't root for the Houston Texans. I know they've won the division like 4 out of the last 5 years, and I love J.J. Watt, but they just seem like a dunce of an organization in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, I think Bill O'Brien is both coach and general manager, so he can do what he wants. I will go to your point for a second that David Johnson, who used to be with Arizona and came over in that trade,
yeah. He
did pretty well. He had 11 rushes for 77 yards and a touchdown and 3 catches for 32 yards. So that's like 10 yards every time he touches the ball. That's good. But the substitutes that they got for the departed DeAndre Hopkins, they got Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks. They had 4 catches for 43 yards. Let me go to the Chiefs for a second, though. I know we talked yesterday about how people don't repeat, and I don't think people repeat in the NFL. But boy, oh boy, they look very, very good. This kid, look what they lost. Damian Williams opted out this year, and a couple of years ago, I guess it was Kareem Hunt, they lost him to bad behavior. This kid, Edwards-Helaire,
they just replaced him.
Looks as good. And the other kid, Mahomes, is a prodigy at 24. He takes what the defense gives him. He's great. They look very good, Mike.
I wasn't thinking as much of Edwards-Helaire. I'll admit, when Louis Riddick was talking him up and selected him in his fantasy draft and said, this kid, this is the kid.
He picked him one.
I said, let me pay more attention to Edwards-Helaire than I might have otherwise. Good for him, good for Louis Riddick and those who followed suit. But still, man, I'm looking at Houston going, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Concentrate on the winner. The winner was really great last night.
We got all year to talk about the winner. People are going to overstate that.
They got a great tight end, too.
But people are going to overstate that. If Kansas City, are they a 16-0 team? Maybe.
No, no.
Maybe they're that great.
No, not 16-0. No.
The Chiefs and Texans approached the national anthem in very different ways. Chiefs defensive end Alex Okafor kneeled with a raised fist while his teammates stood, some locking arms. The Texans stayed in the locker room. But both teams then congregated arm in arm to mark a moment of unity, which got boos from some in the crowd. Tony, what does this reaction say to you?
You know, I'm not sure. I didn't expect that. I didn't understand the booing. It was not about the anthem. It was not about the flag. They had locked arms. I didn't understand what people were booing.
I thought
about it a little bit. You know, I thought about it, and I thought maybe what it stands for is that some people, maybe many people, because you don't know, because the stands are about a quarter full. You don't know what it represents. But maybe they're tired of the politicalization of sports, and maybe they want their sports just as sports, and they don't want anything else with it. But, you know, and it's their right to protest that way.
By booing, sure.
It's their right. If you're going to have a democracy, you got to hear from everybody. I will go back on what you said. I mean, I'm not an anthem guy, as you know. I don't really know why they play it. But I was very surprised that only one person knelt. And I just wondered, was that something that they set up beforehand, that only one person would do it? Because I expected more than that.
Well, you know, Tony, it's going to be game by game. And like Tony Dungy said so eloquently last night, I am not going to keep a scroll of who does what. I don't care. I care what people believe in. And if you want to protest, not protest, I'm fine, because it is a democracy. But let me go back to the boos. Let me go back to the boos, because I thought the boos were about 60%. That's what I heard. So the people who said they didn't hear booing, I heard it. I expected the booing, because I think it's a culture. You know how cynical I am now, Tony. You and I have changed places in our lives in the culture and what we expect from people. I think as a culture, we are dumber and meaner than ever. I know we're less literate. And so the meanness comes out. It comes out in so many different ways. I didn't say the people in Missouri. I'm saying we're going to hear this. You won't hear that, I'm betting, that kind of booing. And I'm going to pick some places, not pick. Chicago, New York, Washington.
Well, they're not going to be
any Francisco,
fans there.
San Francisco, Los Angeles.
There, Mike.
I'm talking whenever they get fans. And by the way, some of these places are trying to get fans. In Chicago, I know because I'm listening to the story unfold, they're trying to have fans before the end of the season. So, yes, nobody else has fans now. Jacksonville and Kansas City are the only ones.
That's
but
it.
Tony,
that's right.
I think we're going to hear this kind of booing. I think that there's a segment of the culture that is larger than you think there is. That is not going to be progressive and think progressively about that in the way I define progression.
It is their right to do that.
Yes, it is.
It's your right to kneel, and it's your right to boo, okay? I was a little surprised because we quoted that Washington Post poll yesterday that 62% of the people felt the athletes had a right to protest.
A local
I will tell you this. I don't know if you've seen
poll?
This yet. I don't know if you have seen this yet.
What?
Something the Miami Dolphins released about why they're going to stay in the locker room.
Yes.
It is moving. It is powerful.
Yes,
it's an extended rhyme. I think people ought to look at that.
It is moving and powerful. Both, yes.
The Houston Rockets were beaten soundly last night by the Lakers. That series is now 3-1, and it will be 4-1. The Rockets can't guard big people. They were out-rebounded 52-26, 12-1 on the offensive glass. They got next to nothing from James Harden, 2-for-11 shooting. Did not even attempt a shot in the fourth quarter. What?
Yeah.
Wilbon's. Are the Rockets getting closer or further away?
Yeah, Tony, you know, philosophically, I don't like small ball. I just philosophically don't like it. So I didn't think they were going to do any more than win one game, the first game. And they won the first game and it's sort of going true to form. The Lakers had a strategy they've known about since March, maybe before. When James Harden got the ball, they believed they could double-team him, make him make bad decisions, turn it over, be less effective. They knew exactly what they were going to do against James Harden, and the Lakers were not worried in the least about this. Now, looking ahead, Tony, Russell Westbrook, who is a Hall of Fame, all-time great player, first ballot, he's not more effective because he can't shoot it. And teams are going to say, fine, you think you can dominate us in the paint? You go ahead and do that. That's not going to win a playoff series or beat good teams. So there's more work to do. Daryl Morey, if he's still there, what they have done in Houston – he's been able to, let me credit him, identify ways to rebuild, retool, and keep going and stay in contention. I think they can still do that. But this group, I don't see it with this group.
So it's interesting. I like to watch them. I like to watch them small. I like to watch them shoot three-point shots. They're very exciting to see. But it's not a sustainable offense. You can't win this way.
No.
You can't win 4 out of 7 against a good team this way. They've got two guys who need the ball in their hands all the time. And let me get the number. Over the next 3 years, they're owed $265 million. So you can't get anybody else unless you get rid of one of them. There's nothing you can do. There, you can change coaches if you want, but you got no squad.
That's right.
You're in the harder conference. Yeah, it's
Tony,
not.
Tony, there's so many teams. You raise a good point. Not only do you have the Lakers and the Clippers and Denver, you got Dallas on the rise. You got Phoenix on the rise. Oklahoma City may drop because they may rebuild. It looks like they're going to rebuild in total. But, Tony, no. Is it? What are they close to? What? They almost lost in the first round to a team that had 1.4% chance of making it to the playoffs, according to the BPI.
Here's what I think, Mike. I think that they are, because they are glitzy, people like to watch them and overrate them in the way that they overrate the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
I don't think there's all that much there, because their two best players are selfish. And I don't even mean that in a bad way. Yeah. But what are you doing together? Let's take a break. Coming up, what do we see happening on Sunday for Tom Brady and Cam Newton?
And who do we see winning tonight's Game 7? Fortune tellers next.
You know, I mean, they're great players, but you can't win now. It's not sustainable.
It's not. 6-6 and under league. You got to have some big players who are also great and mobile and agile and multiple positioned or positionless. I'm not a small ball.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back to the PTI Psychic Hotline. My camera setup may be weak, but my extrasensory powers are even stronger at home, Wilbon. In fact, I sense the first caller now.
Hey, Tony and Mike. Great to see Fortune Teller back on the air. Do you see the Raptors winning Game 7 against the Celtics tonight?
All right, look, I've stayed with Boston the whole way. I'm going to stay with Boston now. I'm not going to be the slightest bit surprised if Toronto wins. The only thing that's going to surprise me, Mike, honestly, is if Kemba Walker gets 5 points again.
Right.
He's an all-star. He can't have two terrible games in a row. I am sort of haunted by what Van Vliet said, that they never should have let us back in. And so my question is, can Boston get up off the mat? Because they have had two devastating losses.
Yeah, they can get back off the mat. They got a terrific team that's going to be around, Tony. If Danny Ainge and the powers that be in Celtic land want them to be around and together, we're going to be watching them deep into the playoffs. I like everything about the Boston Celtics. I just like Toronto a little bit more. Just like you, I'm not going to be surprised. It's a pick'em game.
Right.
You can't go out there and say, oh, I know what's going to happen. No, you don't. I've been with Toronto, as you know, all season. I picked them to win the East at the beginning of the playoffs. I'm not going to run away from that now. But who the hell knows? Just watch the game. Gotta want to see this game tonight.
Next.
Tony and Mike, do you see Tom Brady and the Bucs upsetting Drew Brees and the Saints?
So I want this to happen. I want Brady to be great. I want Tampa Bay to be great. All right? And I think they have this benefit tonight, Mike. There's no better home field advantage than New Orleans, but if you have no fans in the dome, that probably negates that. Having said all that, this star-studded roster for Tampa Bay has not played a single game together. not even an exhibition game together. They're walking into this cold, and they're playing against a Super Bowl contending team with the best wide receiver in all of football in Michael Thomas. If this was week 7, I'd feel differently. But in week 1, I see New Orleans winning.
I was worried that you were seeing the game being played tonight, which it is not going to be played tonight, which scared me.
No. Sunday
Drew
afternoon.
Brees, Tony, still has Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. I mean, he's got – those weapons are as good as anything Tom Brady has, no matter how much people are singing the praises. I think there is a slight home field advantage, not the big home field that comes right. with noise right. in that dome. I am going with Drew Brees and the Saints yeah. in week 1.
And Mike Evans is also hurt, and so that hurts Tom Brady. Next.
Hi, guys. I really want to know, do you see Cam Newton clicking in week 1?
All right, so Cam Newton was asked the other day, will he have butterflies with his debut in New England? And here is his exact quote. I don't get butterflies, I give butterflies. Is Cam Newton healthy? This is the only question that's out there. Is Cam Newton healthy? Because you can talk about Deshaun Watson, and you can talk about, let me read these guys off, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott. They've never been to the Super Bowl. Cam Newton's been to the Super Bowl. If Cam Newton is healthy, I expect him to be good. I expect him to win this game.
I expect him to win the game, but the question is he going to be clicking? No, not week 1. I don't think, but they don't have to, because Bill Belichick's teams aren't going to rely on any one thing that they need to do to win. They'll have all sorts of stuff clicking, and it may be defensively. It could be special teams. It could be a running game that nobody's talking about. Cam will get there, I think, because as you know, I've got Bill Belichick and Cam Newton being better this season than Brady and the
Brady.
Buccaneers. That's the bet I'm willing to make. He doesn't have to click in week 1. They'll win the game, Tony, against the Miami Dolphins, who they own, but I don't think he clicks in week 1.
We're nearly out of premonitions, but in our future, I do see us discussing Serena's exit from the U.S. Open.
Man, that was kind of tough to watch. And I see Tony making a prediction about tomorrow's opener for top-ranked Clemson.
I'm really happy to have my turban back and my earrings back and the schmata. The schmata looks good. Very good in the attic, I think.
I'm unfamiliar schmata. With the word schmata.
Yeah, well, you didn't grow up exactly where I grew up.
I didn't.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Happy time, people. Happy 42nd birthday, Ed Reed. Maybe the greatest safety ever, certainly in the conversation. He was first team All-Pro 5 times, named to the Pro Bowl 9 times. Reed was so good at the University of Miami, where he set school records for interceptions and interception return yards, and was on the 2001 National Champions, that he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And Reed was so good with the Baltimore Ravens, where he had 64 interceptions and 13 non-offensive touchdowns, that he was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Reed and another U defensive standout and Hall of Famer, Ray Lewis, co-anchored the 2012 Super Bowl champions. Reed was recently hired to be chief of staff for the U's football team. His responsibilities include team building, mentoring, and recruiting. That's such a cool job, isn't it? Chief of staff. I wonder if you get your own luxury suite. Hail to the chief.
Tony, when you say among the greatest of all time, perhaps greatest of all time, it's a small group I think of. Ed Reed, Ronnie Lott, Mel Blunt, Night Train Lane, Rod Woodson, Troy Polamalu. That's generally the group. The question is, Ed Reed, Ronnie Lott, I think they're my two on the starting all-time defense. You going to disagree with me?
No, not at all. I'm not. Happy anniversary, Pete Rose. On this day 35 years ago, Rose broke Ty Cobb's all-time record for hits with 4,192. Rose finished with 4,256, which is why so many of his shirts have the words Hit King embroidered
so
on the collars.
Hideous.
The active player with the most hits is Albert Pujols with 3,227. But the active player who bears watching is Mike Trout. He has 1,369 hits at age 29. He's averaged 179 hits per season. At that pace, Trout would reach Rose's number around age 45, the age when Rose
he
retired.
Ain't playing that long.
Over the years, because of the gambling issue, Rose has become a cartoon figure and a punching bag about the many times he has tried to get reinstated to baseball so he can get into the Hall of Fame. People need to remember what a superior baseball player Pete Rose was. He was a great, great hitter. Those Cincinnati teams with Rose, Morgan, Bench, and Perez, they were fearsome. No pitcher wanted to face Pete Rose. No catcher wanted to get in his way.
Yeah, people don't understand how great Pete Rose was. He had 200 hits or more 10 times in his career.
Wow.
People can use the phrase singles hitter if they want. Pete Rose was utterly feared by pitchers, even though a double is as far as he was going around the base pass, man. It's too bad, Tony. It's ended up like this for Pete Rose because his greatness has been sort of undermined and diminished because of all the gambling drama.
No question about it. Happy trails, Serena Williams. Once again, Serena was thwarted in her attempt to win her 24th major and tie Margaret Court for the most all time. Last night, she rolled over Victoria Azarenka in the first set of their semifinal match, 6-1. But she dropped the next two sets to the former two-time Australian Open champ. Quote, "Maybe I took a little too much off the gas pedal," Serena said afterwards. Azarenka had been 0-10 against Serena in their previous meetings in majors. Serena has not won a major since the Aussie in 2017. She's lost her last four straight major finals, and here she went out in the semis. Serena will head to Paris for the French Open at the end of the month. She has won the French three times, but not since 2015, and last year she went out in the third round. Serena will be 39 later this month, an ancient age in tennis. This U.S. Open was thought to be a great chance for Serena, as six of the world's top 10 women were not entered. Wilbon, you have to wonder if she'll get to 24. The women's draw seems to be getting much deeper.
Yeah, but I don't care if she gets to 24. I mean, her legacy is cemented as far as I'm concerned. Serena's reputation, she doesn't need the 24th. And then this is not like Tiger and Jack Nicklaus. It isn't. Now, let me also mention this, because I watched this live. I didn't think Serena was going to be able to beat Azarenka and Osaka in the same weekend, which is what she would have. That had been the task next in the finals. But Tony, she got hurt. She rolled that ankle. She was going to beat Azarenka last night. It would have been 0-11. But she rolled that ankle. She could not move the same way in the third set. And so she went out this way. But it doesn't matter. Serena Williams, Tony, you say women's tennis? I think Serena Williams first now, even with all the other great players. And you're right about the youngsters coming along. They're big, strong, athletic, tough. They hit it a million miles an hour. Doesn't matter. Serena.
Big finish. Here we go. Will the Clippers polish off the Nuggets tonight?
Yeah, Tony. I mean, the Nuggets are not ready for this yet. Another year. Next year. Maybe the year beyond that. Not tonight. Dallas beat Vegas 3-2 in OT. You got the Ning or the Islanders tonight, Mr. New York?
I'm a Long Island boy. Sorry to say this. I got Tampa Bay. Ooh. Red Sox rookie Bobby Dalbec has homered in five straight games. Are you impressed?
They're singing Sweet Caroline. They'll be writing sonnets if this kid stays hot for another week in New England. Number one Clemson opens at Wake tomorrow. Upset?
Are you kidding me? You think Clemson's going to lose to Wake? What are you, nuts? Browns and Ravens on Sunday. You taking your boy Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson?
Here's what I'm off of the hate Cleveland bandwagon for at least a week.
All right. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. We are on the deuce again Monday, you knuckleheads. Until then, have a great weekend.
Daryl from Comcast, shout out, came over here, fixed everything.
Yeah, you made this show possible. Thank you.
Love Daryl.
PTO.